Yeah, he was a tough guy, but he was a good guy. All right, this is our last meeting. I went back and looked, and our first meeting was March 21st of 2017. Gosh, I don't know what you guys think, but 14 months has gone by in a big hurry. Life, I guess, gets that way. Before I get started, do you have a success story, anything else that you would like to discuss?
We've had a number of successes, I think, some large, some medium, you know, as a result of the Supernova process. I think we mentioned that last time. We brought in a
yeah.
$3 million rollover. We brought in a trust
yeah.
for an income beneficiary. You know, I think it's been the Supernova process has been impactful to the positive. So it's been good.
Well, good. Good. Thank you for saying that. It really means a lot. We do this, and if we're doing this in person, it's a lot easier to coach people and talk with people face to face. Over the phone, it's a little bit harder. So I really appreciate you saying it's been impactful. I got a lot to cover here. I think it flows fairly well, but I may jump around because I don't know if I can get everything done in 30 minutes. But let me give it a try. I know you had a quarterly meeting since we last met. You mentioned that two of the things that were going to be discussed. Defining roles and more time for Joel the prospect. Did you make any progress in these two areas, or was it anything else major that came out of your quarterly meeting?
So we did a lot with roles and responsibilities, and then it was like the next day or so that Heidi resigned. So we are kind of reverting a little bit back to where we were before then because you know, really everybody's got to cover that extra person being gone until the firm figures out what they're going to do, which, as you know, can take months to get that replacement. And we, you know, spent some time on marketing. We spent some time on centers of influence. We talked a great deal about establishing our pipeline going forward based on people we want to meet and want to be involved with and centers of influence outside of CPAs and attorneys, but, you know, like certain affinity groups. So that is part of what will help Joel figure out where he needs to be spending his time, you know, after he gets the summer over with and his daughter married and his son to school and all that kind of stuff. Everything's going on.
I've done that, getting my daughter married, two different daughters.
Yeah.
It took a lot of time.
Yes.
I learned early. My job was to walk my daughter down the aisle and write the check and not ask questions.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have, you know, we have a referral that one of Joel's clients referred someone to us. She's from another Morgan Stanley office, but she's moved here from. She's from Colorado, and she's in, you know, $3.5 million, so right in there. And then we got a referral from a CPA. He called, and I think that referral is about $3 million, and he's, you know, kind of close to the vest about not giving us her name or letting us contact her, but he said, you know, he would handle that. But the point is that they're thinking about us.
Okay. Go back to the person from Colorado. She's moving to your area. She's already
she lives
in Morgan
here.
Stanley.
Yeah. She lives here. She's in Morgan Stanley and wants to change her relationship. Perhaps she wasn't really thrilled with her advisor there the availability of that person. So like Tim said, the supernova was really helpful for her understanding our service model.
Does she understand why you can do that?
Yes.
Because you've reduced the size of the practice and
yep.
and all the things we've talked about.
Yes.
Terrific. How did you get put in touch with her? Did she call in? How did that happen?
She called in because the...
No, she met someone at the gym.
No, but she called here after she met him. So she, one of Joel's clients referred her to us, and he gave her the phone number, and she called in to set up a meeting and then followed up with email.
So she's really like a referral, basically.
She was referred from a current client.
Okay. And did that come up, did that referral just come from the client? Were you talking about referrals with the client?
No. They just were at the gym together.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. All good stuff. The key thing I heard, Melanie, was when you're talking about the referral from the CPA, don't know the name yet, but you said they're thinking about us. That's
right.
Really, really important. All good stuff. Let me talk a little bit. At the end of our last meeting, I touched on expanding niches, and Tim brought up a niche being one of the niches, a niche being sustainable investing. I think that's a really good idea. I've never thought about a niche from the idea side, from the product side. What I'd like to spend a little bit of time on today is expanding a niche that you already have. And this is driven more, from existing niches in your practice. And let's just start about you, Melanie. You gave me early on niches were divorcees, professional women, and business owners. That you think that's still a good summary of your niches?
Yes.
Okay. Pick one person out of one of those three groups. Get just one person in mind. You got that person?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's that? What group is that person from? Divorcees, professional women, or business owner?
Professional women.
All right. What's your first name?
Now I'm thinking of a prospect. Do you want me to be thinking of a client?
I want you to think of a client. I want to look at a niche you already have in your practice.
Okay. I'm thinking of a business owner, female.
Okay. And what's her first name?
Susan.
All right. Has Susan ever given you a referral?
No.
Okay. Have you ever asked Susan for a referral?
No.
All right. We've touched on this before, but when we really touched on it, it was June of 6th of 17, so almost a year ago tomorrow. The way you expand a niche is you start with three reasons you like that niche. So tell me why you enjoy having business owners in your practice, Melanie.
Because they can see the value in our breadth of our team and understanding their needs from retirement planning and personal investing and business succession and financial planning. So I think I like that because they are a little more complex.
Okay. So if I could summarize the first part of what you said, they're busy running a business and they need you to take care of the other financial things in their life. They need what you all do.
Right.
Okay. The second thing you said is they have business owners usually have complex situations. That's where you can be more valuable. And frankly, my experience is more fun to deal with complex situations. So the first thing is they need you and know it. The second thing is they have complex situations. What's another reason? I want you to have three reasons that you enjoy dealing with business owners. What? Give me a third.
I think maybe the satisfaction of watching their success.
Okay. Let me throw one other one out there. And again, I'm just trying to paint a picture here. You come up with the three reasons. I think that my experience, business owners understand risk and reward. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
Business owners usually can make a decision fairly quickly. Agreed?
Agreed.
So here it is. It's easy. It's not quite as easy as the VIPSA conversation, but it's pretty close. It all starts with asking for advice. Asking for advice is a way to influence people. I'm not talking about manipulating people. I'm talking about influencing people. If after this was over, Melanie, I gave you a call and said, Nap and I are trying to always have the best possible offering. Would you have a time you could answer some questions and give us some feedback? You, there's no way to take that except a compliment. I wouldn't be asking for your advice unless I value your advice. Do you follow that thought process?
Right.
So you start this conversation. We're using business owners as an example. You start that conversation with, Susan, do you have a minute to give me some advice?
Right.
And Susan's going to say, Melanie, I'm happy to do that. What do you need? And you're going to say, I would like to have more business owners in my practice. I enjoy dealing with business owners because they're usually pretty busy taking care of their business. They have complex situations that are really interesting to me, and I can be more value. And my experience is business owners can make decisions. Here's the advice part. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more business owners?
Right.
Do you see how that flows?
Yes.
All right. So you start with your niche you already have. You come up with three reasons that you enjoy dealing with that niche. And then you ask them how to get in front of other people, and then you're quiet. And if Susan thinks about this and says, "Gosh, Melanie, I hear what you're asking me, but I'm drawing a blank now." Your response is, and you'll remember this from the VIPSA conversation. Well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know, our team is never too busy to help people like you, and you're out of the discussion. It's a simple thought process, but it's an effective process. I really encourage you all to go through your practice, make sure you know who your niches are. Retirees are a niche. We're not talking about a niche being a third of your business. We're just talking about it being a meaningful part of the business. Tim, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You gave me BlackBerry employees and female seniors. We've talked a little bit about your BlackBerry employees before. Going through the same thing, is there another niche you would put in that in your group? Into your practice?
Just thinking about this as you're talking, you've got black, I mentioned BlackBerry employees, but I lump that in in a kind of a larger niche, which is W-2 executives who are pre-retired, who are about to retire. And I think that is a niche. I think W-2 executives who are looking at retiring, that's a legitimate
All right.
or in a value that we can serve them.
Can you think of, and you're talking about just in general, not just BlackBerry?
That's correct. That's right.
Okay. Can you think of somebody in your practice who, I mean, what you've experienced, I'm highly confident, is what you have experienced is if you don't get into as somebody like this before they retire, you're probably not going to get the business. You got to be there early. Agreed?
Yes.
Can you think of somebody in your practice who you got to early, they've become a good client? Is there somebody like that in your practice?
Yes.
All right. What's the first name?
Ron.
Okay. It goes like this. Ron, do you have a minute to give me some advice? People love giving advice. And Ron says, I'm happy to do that. I think I'm really effective and helpful working with pre-retirees. Easier to make decisions. I love working in that space. I can add value. A lot of these situations are complex, and what I've learned is people like you can make quick decisions. I would like to add more people like this to my practice. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more people like that? Make sense?
It does.
All right. Can you think of other people in niches? Just real quickly, Tim. I mean, do you have many retirees?
Yes.
Ms. Jones, do you have a minute to give me some advice? Tim, I'd love to give you some advice. Well, I love working with retirees. They're intellectually inquisitive, but they allow me to make decisions. They can make quick decisions, and I can really add value in that space. Here's the advice part, Ms. Jones. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more retirees like you? And then you're quiet. So I think I've made my point. Tim, do you see the power of these conversations? You want to prospect more, and we've all grown up prospecting being a really hard thing to do. It's not our favorite thing to do a lot of times, but this is prospecting, and we talked about this last month. This is prospecting too. When you have the VIPSA conversation, when you do a niche expansion, that's prospecting too, and is a lot more effective than going after people that you have no introduction to. All right.
Time.
All right. Let's talk quickly about COIs. I'm jumping around a little bit. Melanie, what words would you want a CPA or a COI to use to describe your practice? Give me some words that you would like them to use that would showcase your practice.
I think probably words like experience and knowledge and trust.
Okay. Those are all good. Those are all good, period. No but in here. I'm thinking of words that are a little more exciting. Let me just give you a couple examples. Melanie's practice is unique. Melanie's practice is different. Melanie has a concierge practice. It's innovative. It's cutting edge. It's high touch. Do you see how those words, Melanie, are a little bit more, I want to say inflammatory. That's not the word I'm looking for. But you see how they're a little more exciting than the word trust?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not – trust is important. If you don't have trust in any relationship, it's no good. But I want you to be using words that make a difference. Now, let me ask you this. How would you want to be introduced to a prospective client? In the CPA's office, if the CPA is giving you the referral, in your office via phone, what's most effective for you in being in meeting a client for the first time?
Well, if it's a referral, then usually it's the person referring just basically says, you know, I know from experience this is who you need to talk to. You know, they have everything you need. They'll take care of everything. So then, when I meet the person, it's already you're kind of already past the introduction. I mean, they already know
sure.
a lot about you.
Well, let me put it another way. I didn't ask the question very well. CPA is going to give you a referral. And he says, how do you want to do this? You want to do it over the phone? You want to come to my office? You want me to come to your office? What's the ideal way for you to get together with that referring person and the referred person? What's that look like for you?
For them to come to my office.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking you these questions about the words and where you want to meet, because I want you to be, when you're talking to your referral sources, your COIs, I want them to know what you're looking for. If the best thing for you is to come into your office, you can say something, you can ask for that. I found it's a lot of things work, but it's most effective when that person comes into my office. They may say that's not what works for me. I'd rather you come to my office, and that's all fine. But my point is, your centers of influence need to know how you want to be described, your practice is described. That's why we talked about the words that are more have more energy in it, and they need to know what works best for you as far as getting together.
Right.
Does that make sense? Now let's flip the table here. Who is your number one referral source? What profession?
Probably a CPA.
Okay. Does that CPA, have you ever asked that CPA how they want you to describe their practice?
No.
Have you talked to that CPA about what their ideal client looks like?
Yes.
Good. Have you talked to that CPA about where they like to meet best, what works best for them?
No.
My point is that if these things are important for you, they're also important for your referral source.
Right.
You said a minute ago they're starting to listen. Well, when you ask them questions like this, how do you want me to describe your practice? Do you have a specialty? What's your ideal client look like? Where is it most effective for you that when I have a referral for you that we meet, you're showing that you're listening.
Right,
very
right.
Important that you're asking your referral sources how they want to be described. All right, let me jump to one quick thing here, if I find it. This is our last meeting. Rob Knapp talks about five reasons FAs don't get everything they want from Supernova, and I wanted to go over those fairly quickly, just to see where you are and where you feel you are, and maybe uncover some things that might need to be addressed in RHO. The first reason that FAs don't get everything they want from Supernova is failure to segment the practice. We spent a couple of weeks early on, at the very beginning of Supernova, me understanding where you were and your contractual obligations. My sense is that from a segmentation point of view, that you all are where you need to be and have to be, and you know what you're going to do when those contractual obligations are gone. You know what you're going to do with the clients who are no longer staying with you, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So do you think, as far as segmentation goes, that one's not done, but you got your arms around that?
Yeah, I think so.
Very important, Melanie. That's part of your brand. Number one, it just makes things simpler in your practice, and it's part of your brand. You want to talk about it. It's a question I asked you a minute ago when we're talking about the lady from Denver. We have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. We've significantly reduced the number of people in our practice. That's how I can deliver that kind of service. I can never let the growth of my practice compromise the service I'm giving to my existing clients. Segmentation, really, really important. Number two reason for not getting everything you want, never turning the schedule over to the CSA. How do you feel there?
I think that we've embraced turning the schedule over.
Completely.
I think so, don't you? Mm-hmm. You? Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody agrees.
Okay, good. Failure to adhere to the schedule, missing scheduled meetings, having to reschedule a lot of scheduled meetings. What about that?
I don't think we reschedule very much at all.
Good. All right, failure to use the available time for growth.
What does that mean?
With Supernova, once it gets up and going, you start to create what we call unstructured time. Unstructured time is times when you're not scheduled. You're creating more unstructured time. That's got to take the form of going after new business. Unstructured time is a time that you use primarily for growing the practice.
Yes, that's what we really do want to do and try to use it that way. We're still working on that.
Okay. And then the final thing is poor accountability. One of the number five reason that people don't get what they want, everything they want out of Supernova, is poor accountability. And the notes that I've made underneath there, the bullet points, the five-star leadership model, that's assigning the roles, a great way to drive a meeting, a lot of accountability there. The game board, everybody putting one or two things, everybody on the team, one or two things that is important for them to get done over the next five business days. The referral tracking sheet. I've talked about that a lot. There needs to be a referral tracking sheet in every client folder so you know when the last time is you had a conversation. You can follow up on any previous referrals. You can follow up if you've done a niche expansion conversation and the business owner has not come up with any ideas. You want to track your excuse me. You want to attract your prospecting just like you track your production. Tracking number of prospects. Everybody on the team, all the partners should know exactly how many prospects you have. That's one of the ways that you can hold yourself accountable. If someone says, "Well, I have around six," that's not the right answer. I have six, I have seven, I have 11, I have two, whatever. when you have an exact number, there's accountability. On that, as you track prospects, you want to be able to report on how long they've been a prospect, the date of the last contact, plan for the next call, how they became a prospect, you know, referral, COI, or whatever. So those are the five things that if you can always give yourself a good mark on segmentation, turning the schedule over, adhering to the schedule, using the unstructured time for growth and accountability. If you always bring every quarterly meeting back to those five things, if you can avoid the reasons people don't get what they want out of Supernova, if you can avoid those, you're a long way toward getting what you need to get in your practice. All right?
Okay.
All right. That's all I've got. Anything you all would like to talk about here as we close?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, we still have, you know, work to do, but we've got a really good foundation, and, you know, we really feel like we've come a long ways in the last year or so, and with the roles and responsibilities and Heidi not being here, we've got a little hiccup here for the next couple of months, but I think that, you know, we can continue on, and I think out of the five things, there's only one that we feel like we need to work on, so I feel good about that, and we'll address that at our next strategy meeting.
And which one is that, Melanie?
Failure to use the available time for growth.
Okay. All right. I think you all have done terrific work, especially within the constraints of the contractual constraints. Here's what I would ask you to be aware of is as our one of the things that we do is accountability, hopefully in a nice way. You all have a lot going on. You're still going to have a lot going on. You're always going to have a lot going on. And sometimes things get a little fuzzy, and you just need kind of a tune-up. We offer follow-up discussions. That gives you access to the coach. It also it's there to – you just buy blocks of time. And if you feel that that would help, maybe a quarterly meeting, whatever, a meeting prior to you having your quarterly meeting, whatever, we can design it any way you want. I just want you to know that is available.
Okay, right? Yeah, that's good to know. We already actually had discussed something like that, so I appreciate you bringing it up.
Okay. Well, best wishes. I know you're going to have a great year. Let me know if you need anything else.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Good folks. Bye.